Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Abortion with Love. I know it's been a minute, but I'm back in your ears. And this time with an abortion story. This is Nadine. She was in an abusive relationship that started when she was 19 years old. And when she was finally able to leave the relationship and move to a new city, she found out that she was pregnant and she realized that she had to end the pregnancy. Knowing that keeping the pregnancy meant keeping that relationship with her ex. And she knew that she couldn't do that for her own well-being, but also the well-being of, you know, this child that she would potentially bring to the world. Yeah, it's a really touching story. Nadine is an incredible person. She's very thoughtful and wise, and that really comes through. But I warn you that there's some things that might be a little bit tough to hear, especially if maybe you were in a similar situation. But yeah, Nadine shares it in such a caring way. Hi, my name is Camilla, and this is Abortion with Love, a podcast dedicated to reclaiming the ways that we talk about abortion.
Yeah, I think abortion...
If we don't take care of ourselves first, before we take care of anybody else, we're doing everyone around us a disservice.
We want to be with...
Okay, we're recording. Hi, Nadine. Welcome.
Hello, Camilla. Wait, Camilla or Camila?
Whichever. My name is in Spanish, so it's pronounced Camila, right. But in English, I'm used to people pronouncing it Camilla. So just whatever you want.
Okay, I'm going to go with Camila.
All right. So how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been a busy week, like professionally. So it's nice to have this space to slow down a little bit and be a little more reflective, you know, and not so like, go, go, go. So, thank you for having me.
Of course. How do you feel about sharing your story today?
I'm excited about it, which is a weird feeling, I guess, around that. But, you know, a little emotional in ways. No one's ever given me space to speak about it in a vulnerable, candid, supportive way. So I've got my box of tissues prepped, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited to, just share my story.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to have you here in this space. And I'm honored that you want to share your story today in this space. So when you're ready, you can start wherever you want to start.
Great. So my name is Nadine Bedrosian. I use she, her pronouns. And I had an abortion when I was 22 years old. I had just broken up with my ex of 3.5 years. I thought he was the love of my life. I thought we were going to have a fairy tale story of love at first sight and, you know, riding off into heaven together, holding hands. And it was very much not that. He was 12 years older than me when we started dating. And a lot of people were like, well, that's not a great age gap when you're 19. I was 19 when we started seeing each other.
Yeah.
And I just felt really strongly that, like, no, I'm mature for my age. And, like, this makes sense for me. Of course, I would be with somebody older. And, you know, I know now in hindsight that the problem was not with me, it was with him, and that he was abusive, you know, and he really took advantage of me at a really young, vulnerable age. Mm-hmm. And I got wrapped up in a really hot and cold type of love, you know, where it was the high highs and the low lows. And, you know, we would fight hard, but we would love hard. And and frankly, I felt like he needed me. He had a rough life growing up, and I felt like I was going to be the one to love the good out of him. And no one gave him enough love to let him be vulnerable. And so I was mm-hmm. going to do that. I was going to save him, basically. Mm-hmm. And instead, it just ended up hurting me, you know? And after 3.5 years of that chaos, I eventually was just, I couldn't see myself anymore. I remember looking at a photo that we took when we had first started dating, and this photo was so meaningful to me in the beginning. I was like, oh, I loved it. Like, it was a candid shot of us, and it created so many feelings of good inside me. And I remember one day looking at that picture and I couldn't see the separation between us anymore. I couldn't see where he ended and I began. And that felt different in that moment. And right then I was like, I know what I need to do. And I moved to San Francisco. I was living in Los Angeles at the time. And I was just like, I gotta go. I know that I have to separate myself entirely from this situation, and it'll be a clean break, and there won't be anything around to remind me of him, and it'll be, you know, quote unquote, easy or easier. And then when I moved a few weeks later, I had been feeling kind of weird the last few weeks, but I was like, oh, I just went through a breakup, and, you know, I'm always so inconsistent with my birth control, and maybe it's that, and I've been kind of going out and whatever. But then I realized I couldn't remember when my last period was, and it had always been inconsistent. But again, I was like, something felt weird. So I joked to a few friends. I was like, oh, you know, I got to go to the gynecologist. I haven't had my period in a while. But I'm sure I'll just get my period like the next day, like it always happens. Mm-hmm. And I went in there and I even joked to them, and I was like, oh, you know, I could be pregnant, but, you know, it's fine if I am, because I'll just get rid of it.
Yeah.
And then I like waited for my urine test to come back, and the NP came in and was like, so your pregnancy test was positive. And I just felt every drop of blood rush out of my body and into my fingertips. And I felt like I was going to faint. And I immediately burst into tears. And I was like, this can't be happening. I'm 22. I'm starting a new school in 2 weeks. I just moved here. Like, are you sure? Like, what? And immediately it was like a flood of thoughts and memories came to my mind. I had always been pro-choice, but I always said that I'm pro-choice, but if it ever happened to me, I would probably keep it, and or I would like give the baby up for adoption. And, you know, I know that I would be strong enough to do that. And and it happened. And I was like, I have to get this out of me. And the first realization that my ex was still a part of me and was still with me was so, I mean, gross, to be honest. You know, the fact that like he was inside of my body coursing through my veins was just a whole other, a new version of oppression that he was creating in me.
Yeah.
And it was just wild to feel all of that, you know? And I knew immediately, though, I was like, okay, well, what do I need to do? I need to get an abortion. And I was really lucky in my experience with the people that I had. They were all really kind and supportive and, you know, soft, and gave me space to really think and process, and offered me resources. I was really, really lucky, but I was steadfast, and I knew exactly what I wanted to happen.
Was this in San Francisco?
Yeah. And we moved quickly, and the next day I had an ultrasound, and that's when I found out how far along I was. And at that point, I wasn't sure, like, you know, I was being a little reckless at the time. So, you know, I was like, it's probably my exes, but it could be one other person. And I went to get an ultrasound the next day to find out, you know, just more information, how far along I was. And the nurse asked me, she was like, do you want me to turn the screen away? And for whatever reason, I said no. I was like, I want to see it. You know, I'm the kind of person that when I give blood, I need to like watch the needle go in. I need to like see what's happening. I know, it's so weird.
Do not relate.
I know. It's like, that's my level of control. I'm like, I need to witness it and know what's happening. Yeah. I don't want to guess. Yeah. So I was like, no, I want to see it. And I was not expecting to see a profile of a baby. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was going to be like a little spot that looked like a weird, you know, shape.
Kidney bean.
Yeah, exactly. But it wasn't. I was 11 weeks pregnant, and it was a baby at that point, you know, or like the beginnings of a person.
Yeah.
And that was shocking. It didn't change my mind, but I think that's when I first felt sad.
Yeah.
Knowing that I couldn't give what I would want to give to my child, and knowing that I had to say hello and goodbye in that one moment was really sad. I was, you know, before that I was like, okay, problem solving, X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
But then I saw that and I was like, fuck. Being a mom was something that I kind of had always thought about, you know. Even when I was younger, I joked around to my mom. I was like, I don't think I'll ever be a wife, but I know I'll be a mother. Like from a really young age. And so to have all of those feelings inside me and to have that moment. And in a way, I really did feel like I didn't have a choice. Of course, I did cerebrally, but I knew if I kept it, then my ex would be in my life again, even more so. And I knew that he would do everything in my power, in his power, to make my life true hell. Mm-hmm. And I had witnessed that from many other people who, you know, had kids with exes and blah, blah, blah. And I was just not... I was not willing to give any more of my life to him than I already had.
Right.
And it didn't change my mind, but it certainly made me really, really sad.
Yeah, of course.
And I had no idea how to handle it either, like how to talk about it. Like when I went in with my sister, who luckily my sister was living in San Francisco at the time as well, and she and I are super close, and I was able to tell her everything from the second that it happened, and she was there with me when I went in for the procedure, and she took the day off, and she got me my favorite snacks, and you know, put blankets on me when I was resting, and all of that. So I was again super lucky in that way. But I just still had no idea how to talk about it. Like when I went to the hospital for the procedure, I checked in. They're like, what are you here for? Which I was like, you don't know. Like you don't have it in your record. I have to tell you. Okay, fine. But I didn't know the proper term DNC. I didn't have that in my brain. So I just felt so awkward. And I was 22. So I said, I'm here for a schmishmortion. Because I'm going to cope through humor. Like, that's all I know how to do, you know? And the nurse was like, you mean a DNC? And I was like, sure, I guess. Like, if that's what you call it. And my sister was like, Nadine, take this seriously. I was like, I don't know how more seriously to take this. This is my body that this is happening to, and I'm literally here. So I don't know what to do. And then it just like, it happened, you know. I went to sleep and I woke up and I knew it had happened. And what I didn't expect was the healing process afterwards. That was something that no one had really warned me about. Even the nurse afterwards said that, you know, I could experience bleeding, but no one told me that it could be severe bleeding, and it could be like hemorrhaging, you know. Like I was walking to the train one day, a few days later to go to work. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I feel some spotting. And then I was like, wait, no, that's a lot. That's interesting. And I was pretty close to home. So I just turned around and I texted my boss and I was like, hey, something's going on and it's medical. I don't want to get into it in text, but I'm going to be late. I'll let you know. And I'm on my way. And I went home and I just had to like sit on the toilet for like 15 minutes. And like my body just flushed stuff out. And I called the doctor and I was like, is this something I should come in for? And they said at that point it had stopped, and they said, well, if it stopped, then you're okay. I was like, holy shit, this is normal. Like, this is normal bleeding. Like, that's a lot, you know? Yeah. So those like physical aspects to it were so unexpected. Yeah. And even long term now, you know, people that have experienced pregnancy full term, we'll talk about like, oh, when I laugh really hard, I pee a little, or when I sneeze, I pee a little, and oh, my body's never been the same, and my feet grew half a size, and blah, blah, blah. And I experience every single one of those things, but I feel like I have this invisible pregnancy that I can't talk about because it makes other people uncomfortable. And that's a weird space to just live in for the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah. I think that's very interesting because your body is in a postpartum state, but we don't use that language when we talk about abortion. But
yeah,
our bodies are going through the same thing or a similar thing that someone who gave birth is going through.
Right.
You release something from your uterus.
Right. But there's no like language around that, at least, you know, in spaces
recognition
that I frequent. And And then the financial aspect, frankly, too, like there were bills that came up after that, you know. Abortion is not covered by health insurance when you're 22 years old. Mm-hmm. And I had to call my mom and tell her and ask for help. And luckily she was willing to help me financially, but she just couldn't help me emotionally. And if I'm being really honest, that still affects our relationship today on my end. You know, I don't feel like I can be fully honest with her about certain experiences because of the way she reacted, you know. If it's too sad for her, then I then need to support her in her sadness when I'm feeling super sad.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then I'm like, all right, I'll take my sadness somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. I can relate to that the roles like feel reversed when you're needing the support, and suddenly because they are reacting so heavily on something that you experienced, that you suddenly have to support them and like forget about your own needs. And that's a really difficult thing to do.
Right.
But also I feel like that's also a really hard thing to forgive. That can stay with you for like a long time. And, you know,
there's a
lack of trust after that.
Yeah. And I'm in therapy now. I have been for a long time. It's great. I highly recommend therapy to anyone and everyone everywhere. But this idea that me not being able to share the sad parts of myself, then when the pendulum swings, I then feel equally unsafe sharing happy parts of myself with my family is something that I don't know that will ever fully go away. You know, and there's a loss and a mourning in that with my family too.
Were there other people that you could share that sadness with?
Frankly, not really. I mean, my sister was there for me, absolutely, but I don't think I let myself be sad about it. I didn't want to be sad about it. I just wanted to feel strong and steadfast in my decision, and I just wanted to like put it in a box and lock it away. But then, well, actually years later, a friend of mine went through a similar situation, except it wasn't her ex. It was a guy she had just started dating, and she found out she was pregnant and got an abortion. She was able to do the pill at home. So I was there with her the whole time. And she was really sad about it. And she admitted that, you know, she didn't want any baby to feel unloved. And it's not that she didn't love her baby, but she couldn't give to them what she would want to be able to give as a mother. And I feel like in that moment, she and I had like a really good cry in the bathroom together, you know, and I feel like that was sort of, I sort of released that sadness with her and through her in that experience. I weirdly have, I mean, maybe it's actually probably not weird, but quite a few of my friends have had abortions as well. And so there is later in life, I've been able to find that support and that kinship and that understanding amongst my girlfriends, you know, where we can talk about how our bodies have changed and how different things are, you know. So I've created that support system in that way.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you've shared your story before, right, in writing?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that and why you decided to share your story and what's come out of it?
Yeah. So I live in the lands that are currently colonized as the United States of America. And there's been a lot of clamor around the Roe v. Wade and Supreme Court and Texas. And I just couldn't hold it in any longer. I had been wanting to tell the story and share my story for quite some time, but I never knew how or when or where or what the quote, right thing was. And just one day, all of a sudden, there was like a wave that came over me. And it was like the 22-year-old version of me came up out of the shadows and went through my fingertips and just said, just sit down and start typing in a Google Doc, you know? And that's what I did. And this story and this admission just poured out of me. And I knew I could just sit on it. I knew it felt good to just have it out and put it there. But I also really wanted to publish it and have it be public for other people to read and see. And so I decided to put it on Medium because I did want anyone who happened to Google the words abortion or abusive or ex-boyfriend or anything like that to be able to find it. And know that even if we don't know each other or if we do know each other, if anyone's feeling lonely or completely alone, that there are people out there like me who have similar feelings and experiences. And I had quite a few people reach out to me after I published that said that they too had abortions and they never admitted it because they felt shame over it, even though they knew it wasn't a bad decision. But, you know, society just has so much guilt around women that, you know, if we make decisions for our bodies, then it's selfish and not thoughtful to our families, you know, and our legacies or whatever. And I also just wanted to reject all of that. You know, I really wanted to put out there in the world, like, I am a dope, badass producer woman who has done a lot of shit and that has supported a lot of people done a lot of cool, important things for the world and for my community outside of bearing a child. Having a baby is not the only way that I can help my community grow. There's other types of growth. And I feel really, really good about the work that I've done. And I know that I would not have done any of the things that I've done up until this point if it weren't for the decision that I made when I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
And the outpour of support and love was really cool.
Yeah, I think there's something so special about sharing that really brings people together. Like so many people who you know, who you didn't know have had an abortion or had abortions and they reach out. I think a similar thing happened to me when I released the podcast, that a lot of people from like my high school who I had lost touch with were like, oh shit, Camilla's had an abortion too. And now I can tell someone that I've had an abortion and not feel scared about their reaction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important because we live in a society where we always have to like be precautious of how other people are going to react and be prepared for it and deal with their reactions. And yeah, that's just such a relief and a breath of fresh air when you can just share and, you know, you don't have to be worried about how they're going to react. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's so true. And I was able to just like put it out there, and it's not like the conversation with my mom, you know, where I then had to receive her side of things and listen to her. It was just like, nope, I am speaking and that is it. And I don't need to receive any feedback that I am not interested in receiving. And, you know, there was some protection around that, you know.
Yeah, that's also a really good point that you don't have to read anybody's comments if you don't want to.
Right. Right, right. I did even have, I felt like there were some people that I was able to sort of open their minds up a little bit, you know, from my younger years, from like high school and stuff, that read my story, that reached out and were like, wow, this is so important. I've never heard anything like this. And thank you so much for opening my eyes. And I just realized in that moment, like, oh, right. Like people still think that abortion is just like a frivolous decision that women who don't take precautions, you know, do.
Yeah.
And that it's an act of irresponsibility and disregard for our bodies.
Yeah.
And I think a few people realize that it absolutely is not that. You know, it's an act of self-care, and it really was an act of love for my child, for my unborn child. Like, I know what it's like to grow up in a complicated family system that, you know, no family's perfect, no one's perfect, and patriarchy and toxic masculinity are present in many cultures, particularly in my culture and in the United States in general. And it can be really hard to grow up in a family system that mocks equity and feminism.
Yeah.
And I just did not want my kid to grow up with a dad that made them feel like shit about their existence in any way, you know? So I really knew that in my heart that spirit belonged to someone else, and they passed through me, but they belonged to someone else who could take better care of them.
Yeah. You're protecting them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Is it okay if I read a couple of sentences from your story?
Yeah.
That I really think summarize it so beautifully, and also I think shows how this decision was just the best you could have done for you and for the pregnancy. And also like why you share your story.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here. "And I absolutely never shut the fuck up, because I owe it to her, to the version of me who lived in a place where she didn't have a choice at 11 weeks, to speak up and stay loud, to fight for those without access to the privileges I had. I'll always be the friend to tell you your partner is treating you like shit. I'll always put the girl who pretends to know me in my car to get her away from the guy following her. I'll always say, that's inappropriate and don't touch me, or she said to leave her the fuck alone. There is no doubt in my mind that this would not have been my life if I was forced to see my pregnancy to term. I'm certain I would have loved my baby and built a decent life for us. But I'm also certain that my ex would have made our lives a living hell at any given opportunity, and I would never let that broken asshole hurt my baby. So yes, the greatest act of love I've ever committed and the absolute best decision and the absolute best decision I've ever made was my abortion.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It makes me emotional to to hear it. It's also really powerful to hear someone else read it too. So thank you for that. It's, I mean, and it's, honestly, it's so weird hearing it too, because I feel like it does feel like a different version of me wrote it, you know, like 22-year-old mm-hmm. me really did write that. She was given an opportunity to speak out in that moment through me, and now through this. So yeah, stay loud is what I will always try to do, you know, mm-hmm. speak up for those that can't, including the past versions of me, the child versions of me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, well, like any story, someone else out there is living something similar. And that's the real beauty of storytelling and sharing. That, like, that of course not everyone's going to relate, and every story is unique. Mm-hmm. No two stories are the same, but there's going to be red threads through these stories. And the more red threads we find, the more we connect people to each other, the more noise we make, the more we help people realize that this isn't a rare thing, that this isn't,
yeah,
that this is a normal human experience. And
yeah,
as unique as your story is, there's people out there going through something similar. And there's so much strength in community in knowing that so many people have gone through this and come out of it. And so someone reading this will, or listening to this will, you know, find comfort in that.
Yeah. 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 And I also do want to say, like, first of all, I appreciate so much that in so many of your episodes, you've made a really strong point that abortion is healthcare and it will always be necessary and it will always happen no matter what laws or restrictions are built around them, especially wealthy people. Yeah. They will always have access to abortions. And then on the other end of the spectrum, people that don't have access to wealth and stylized healthcare will also do what it takes for themselves to take care of their bodies. And sometimes that could lead to negative repercussions and other health issues and possibly death sometimes. And so being able to provide safe access to healthcare, safe access to abortion through healthcare is actually mm-hmm. a way to keep women safe mm-hmm. and to keep communities safe and thriving.
Yeah.
And I also just want to say for anyone out there that could be listening to this or is going through a similar situation or is not sure about what they want to do, abortion is not a failure and it is not giving up on anything. And it does not mean you don't love the pregnancy or your baby or your future children or your family or anything. Abortion is not a failure. It is not giving up. It is a decision around healthcare and around our whole lives. I mean, becoming a mother changes your entire life, every single thing about your life. And it's different for mothers. It just is, you know? When comparing it to cis men, the birther, the person who gives birth, is tied differently to that being. And
yeah,
it is okay to make a decision for your health and for your mental well-being first. You know, it's like on the airplanes, they say that you put your face mask on first, you know, and then you put it on your child. Because if you faint, you can't help your child.
That's right.
If we don't take care of ourselves first before we take care of anybody else, then we're doing everyone around us a disservice.
Definitely. Definitely. Thank you so much for saying that. I think that's a really important reminder. And yeah, you put it so well.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Good. I mean, I feel like I'm surrounded by versions of me and maybe even some ancestors, you know, that that are here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of energy in my space right now, you know. And I do feel like there's some cosmic shit happening around us, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Also just to think of how many abortions have happened in our lineage, mm-hmm. like, you know. People have always taken care of their reproductive health and with whatever tools they've had available to them. Right. And to think of all our ancestors who've had abortions and who've had miscarriages and mm-hmm. how they took care of themselves mm-hmm. and the decisions they had to make to take care of themselves so that we could be here today as well.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it would be a disservice to what my ancestors survived through in order for me to be here today, to not use my voice and to not speak up and to not express myself fully yeah. and honestly, because I know so many of them didn't have the opportunity to. They had to care for their babies that they yeah. didn't have choices around having, and they all survived so much mm-hmm. so that I could be here today. And I know that it's a lot of their strength that gives me strength to keep it pushing. And I also just know that anyone's negative judgment about my life and my choices says a lot more about them than it does about me.
Heck yes.
I'm like, what do you have going on in your life that you feel like you need so much space to judge me? Like, oh, you're perfect? Okay, sure.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for taking the time to listen to abortion stories. It means a lot, and it's so important. I believe with my whole heart that the more we listen to abortion stories, the more people who just will be quiet and listen to abortion stories, the better the world, the better place the world is, will be for people who have abortions. That wasn't very eloquent. Anyways, thank you, Nadine, for sharing your story, for being so vulnerable with us. It's truly an honor to hold space for you. All right. If you want to follow the podcast, you can check out my website, www.abortionwithlove.com, or Instagram, abortionwithlove. And that's all from me. Apologies again for the long hiatus. I hope you'll be receiving new episodes soon, but I don't make any promises anymore. All right. Have a nice rest of your day. Sending you lots of love.
Take care of ourselves first before we take care of anybody else, then we're doing everyone around us a disservice.